KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Problem Corner. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. Again, this is Problem Corner. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Voice is still a little bit raspy from the smoke. And in the studio here, I have Brett Redderman. He is a Fairbanks North Star Borough Assemblyman. And what do you have to say?
Well, not a whole lot. Well, first, my disclaimer, yes, these opinions are mine. They're mine alone. Do not represent the Fairbanks North Star Borough nor the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. Thanks for the reminder.
Now you get to say whatever you want.
Now I can say whatever I want. So, yes.
Well, let's just go right at it. Scott Crass has introduced a... new ordinance for,
ethics reform.
Ethics, yeah.
Yep. And to be honest with you, I haven't read the whole thing, kind of skimmed it. It's a little bit interesting that we're going to go around this again.
Round three.
Round three. So my attempt at modifying it failed. We'll see where this one goes. I've skim read it. I haven't dove into all the details. In typical Scott Crass form, he tends to be a little wordy on things, so there appears to be about 3 pages of addition to this. It's pretty lengthy.
Does it need attorney interpretation, or would you say it is a politician salad, word salad?
I've only skim read it, so I don't know. I mean, everything has to go through the attorney. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's definitely room for improvement in the ethics code. My fear when we went through, what I call the Barbara Haney debacle, and I said it at the time, was my fear was we were opening up Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
That... And I warned everybody. I said, look out. You think this is all fine and dandy because you're going against Barbara, your enemy, but what happens when things flip? And sure enough, things flipped. I've caught word that potentially there's more of these ethics complaints in the works, and we'll see where they go. And I don't even know if those rumors are true. But this is exactly what I feared, is that this was going to start to become a tool to be used. And I think the code needs
revision.
It needs revision. It was written, if I remember right, when I went down this road, it was written in 2006, and it was installed. It was boilerplate. It used language from other municipalities around the state. It was a bit generic. I don't think anybody really ever thought it was going to be used.
So what gets me is yesterday I'm reading the paper and I see this community perspective from a person who doesn't want the rate card, the ranking card,
right,
or between Democrats and Republicans. And she says, it should be
totally
non-binding,
non-partisan.
Yeah.
Non-partisan.
And this is the person who wrote the ethics complaint against Barbara Haney.
Right, right. And, yep, that was a little interesting.
Yeah, I was liking it until I saw the name and go, okay.
Right, and yes, but I will say that there were some good things in there. There were some good ideas,
mm-hmm.
And most of all, it was trying to encourage people to, one, get more involved in the voting system, which would be really great. Here we're coming into this municipal election, and most likely we're going to go back to seeing very low voter turnouts. If you go back to previous years where it was just a municipal election, no state, no federal, mm-hmm. stuff, voter turnout was 15-16%, you know. Our last one with the mayor race in there and all the state and the federal stuff, we were at 23-24%. That's really good for a borough election, but we're going to go back to seeing 15-16%. So, yes, I agree with her that anything you can do.
I just think it should have came from a different person because she's already compromised herself.
Right. And she came and basically made the same testimony to the borough assembly. And, you know, the point is taken, but it's, I mean, whether we like it or not, you know, say what you want to about the system. The system is what it is. Mm-hmm. We have a two-party system. If you want to include the other parties, maybe there's 20 parties. I don't know. But, I mean, traditionally, this country and most countries that have a party system only have two or three, you know, majority parties. This plays into it no matter what. And there's the idea of a nonpartisan election here is, to me, I can't make heads or tails of it because no matter what, whether you have an R or a D behind your name, you can still subscribe to the same philosophy. Mm-hmm. Those principles that the R's and the D's hold, they're not exclusive to just an R and a D.
True.
You know, many people can subscribe to that plus others. It's just, it's a philosophy. It's an idea. It's a set of ideas and principles to go on. And they're not exclusive to the parties.
You know, I'm a registered Republican. What I liked about, if you're in a party, what it does is it gives you a platform to espouse your ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what the Republican Party did for me. Have I always endorsed Republican? No. You know, last year, endorsed Morgan Doolian.
Right. Yep.
You know,
and you took some heat for that.
Like I cared.
Right. Right. So you're right. I mean, you can vary from these things, but take the party completely out. I don't know how you do that. I don't think that it's possible. I think it's one of those great ideas in theory, but in reality, I don't see how you take the parties out of the equation. Somehow or another, that message and that money is going to end up in that candidate's hands. If they subscribe to that party, if they're a member of that party, that's just how it works. You know, That's how we advance these candidates, and you know, we can get them, you know, more airtime and more time to talk to people. If you come in, you know, completely out of obscurity and you don't have any kind of backing, chances are people are never even going to get to meet you because you can't even afford to go out and campaign. You and I know campaigning is not cheap. It costs money to run a political campaign, even at these local levels, you know. So, it's another one of those great ideas in theory. I just don't see how it works in reality. It works for the nonpartisans, I guess, you know. But I don't see how you're ever going to get the individual parties out of these elections.
No, you're not.
Right.
That's why I found it interesting coming from her.
You would have to change the system, literally, from the federal level. You would have to change the entire electoral system. And then what are you going to get after that?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to get something new. And guess what? Somebody's going to complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always somebody that's just there's not going
no
to agree.
There's right? no one fix all.
There's no one fix all. This is not a perfect system. It's just...
But it's our system.
But it's our system. It's worked for us, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. It's worked and until there's some sort of major change. And even then, you're still going to have, if you take the word party out and just replace it with ideals or philosophy, it's the same thing. It's just, we've just wrapped it up in R and D and I and U and, I mean, even undeclareds have... Mm-hmm. You know,
libertarian,
you know, any of these, there's a ton of the Green Party, you know, the Socialist Party, the Communist Party, you know,
Alaskan Independence Party.
They all have a philosophy or a platform that they stand behind. And I, you know, I'm a registered Republican, but I don't agree with everything that
I don't
tell
a party line
doing,
right? all things. No,
no, no, I don't agree with everything that goes on in the party, but that's
gets quite entertaining.
Well, it can. That's one of the reasons I rejoined the party after many, many years of not being. As I thought, well, if you're gonna have a voice, you got to be on the inside, you know, to have a voice. You know, whether anybody's going to listen or not, I don't know. But it's the only way you're going to have a voice. They're definitely not going to listen if you're sitting on the outside.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. With me in the studio is Assemblymember Brett Roderman.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Today's Valley's Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49th State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote. Serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one. This is Lori Prox of KVAK Radio with a fishing update from Valdez. Pink salmon are milling throughout Prince William Sound, and anglers are reporting catches of pink salmon from shore. Fishing will continue to improve as these fish move in toward the hatchery in Valdez. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports anglers trolling for salmon are starting to pick up king salmon and even a few coho salmon around Cape Clear, Crafton Island, Glacier Island, and Passage Canal. Fishing for Pacific or gray cod has been good throughout Prince William Sound, and as of July 1st, anglers can keep yellow-eye rockfish and ling cod. Michael May of Wasilla said he planned his two-day fishing trip to hit the ling cod opener, and they picked up their limit for ling cod in addition to catching several halibut weighing between 80 and 100 pounds. My objective on the overnight trip is to catch my first fish to fill the freezer, which to me is 30 pounds and up. And then after that, I'm derby fishing, May said. And derby fishing has been good. Mel Grove of Wasilla, Alaska, caught a 185.4-pound halibut July 5th to take the lead in the Valdez Halibut Derby. Creed Jones of Chugiak moved into second place with his 177.8-pound fish. And Joy Witt of Valdez is currently in third place in the Valdez Halibut Derby standings with a 155.6-pound halibut she caught July 5th.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a rental boat and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, Fish Central can process your fish too. Book with Fish Central and get 10% off your processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 907-835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Thunderstorms likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 70. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Showers likely. Lows level off around 51. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Brett Roderman in the studio with me. How are you doing, sir?
I am good.
You have a good 4th of July?
It was good, yeah. My daughter was in town. She was born and raised here, graduated from West Valley High School, and then went on to graduate from UAF. And then she decided she wanted to go see what America was all about, so she ended up moving down to Tucson, Arizona, recently moved to Phoenix. So yeah, she comes up here every year for the 4th just for her birthday. So yeah, it was good. It was a good visit. We got some flying in, got to go out to the cabin. She brought her new boyfriend up, so very nice.
Very nice, that's what I'd say too. If I was on the air running for re-election.
That's right, yeah. No, very, very nice young man. I didn't have to push him out of the airplane, you know, so out in the middle of nowhere. So that was good. I guess he passed that test anyway. And
he wasn't viewed as bad luggage.
No, definitely not. And it was a good visit, and the weather cooperated for the most part. It's kind of funny, you know, them being from Phoenix, they were pretty uncomfortable up here in the heat. That was a pretty good week of heat, and of course there was some humidity in there, which they're not used to. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, in Arizona, there's only one place in Arizona that isn't air conditioned, and that's outside. Everything else in Arizona is air conditioned. So literally, you can, at some point during the day, you're always escaping the heat to go rejuvenate. Well, you know what it's like up here when the heat comes on. Unless you go to Fred Meyer's or some restaurant that's air conditioned, you can't escape it. And after a week of that, it kind of cooks the life out of you. So I honestly think they kind of look forward to going back home to 114 degrees.
They're out in the elements.
So. Yeah, they're basically out in the elements. We don't have air conditioning at the house. I don't even have one of those little room air conditioners. A lot of people have, you know, those room air conditioners just for their bedroom, but we don't even have one of those. So, yeah.
What do you think about the governor's call to the legislature for a special session?
Interesting. Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, there seems to be a little bit of politics afoot there. You know, I think one of the biggest complaints is, you know, a lot of these guys are out of town. They've got, you know, other commitments. So it sounds like not everybody can get back to Juneau in time. So I think that's going to, you know, that's going to make the headlines. Already has that, you know, basically he's stacking the deck. So I don't know. I mean, the vote was probably going to be pretty close anyway, even if you could get all of them back. I think the vote was going to be really close. So,
well, you know, it's politics. First of all, it's politics, you know, and I always view him and Wielkowski. Wielkowski cannot stand the governor and will do anything to stop anything. So for the last 6-7 years, you know, the governor has only had 2 years where he's had a Republican majority in the House and Senate. And that was debatable in the Senate. He started out in, 2018 with the split House when David Eastman would not go into a coalition with Republicans. And so you had about 5 Republicans walk over to the Democrats. And so that's where this governor started. And Wielkowski is, you know, he's not what I call a very nice politician. You know, anything he can do to hurt you, he will. So I view the governor saying, okay, you know, why am I going to let you guys call the time for a special session or a change on this? I'm going to call a special session when I want, which is my right. I'm the governor.
Right.
I've been trying to work with you now. I got 1 year left. You're not working with me. It's very apparent. I have nothing to lose. Period. So I'm going to call it when I want, and we'll see if you can override it with 45 needed votes. You've already lost one. You lose one more. You're done. It's out. It's over.
Right. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, there's...
It's just a gamesmanship on each side.
It's gamesmanship, you know. I mean, look at the... You know, look at the gamesmanship that happened during the last session when, you know, the Fairbanks 4, if you will, or whatever it is, wanted to come home. And I can't remember what was they were debating at the time. Could have been the education thing, but it was like, oh, yeah, go home, you know, have a good time. We won't call a vote or anything while you were gone.
Yeah.
The wheels were just left the tarmac. And they called the vote.
Yeah,
they called
the Fairbanks legislators. Yeah,
basically,
you had Will Stapp coming home to get a big award. Yep. Mike Prox.
Yep,
and they gave him misinformation, purposeful.
That's gamesmanship. You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, the governor's given him a chance. It's not his fault that they've made other commitments that they can't come back. I mean, if you're in that, that's the chance you're going to take if you schedule something. Well, what if a special session is called? You know, how are you going to get back?
Yeah, you know, I looked at the House this year and the House majority, and they basically surrendered. Well, they sent over the budget that to the Senate that was $500 million in deficit.
Mm-hmm.
They surrendered. They said, we internally of the majority are so conflicted, we will never get this out. This is what we're doing. Here it is with what everyone wants or doesn't want. Senate, help us.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, Senate, fix it. And then
whatever you do, we'll agree to.
Yep.
And that's what happened.
And then the governor had to go in with, you know, the power of the pen.
Yep.
You know, and start chopping wherever he could, because it,
folks, he can add, but he can remove.
Right. And I don't understand. If you don't have the money,
How are you expending stuff you don't have?
How do you spend something you don't have?
Yeah.
You know, and we're not borrowing it. We're not doing this. I just don't understand. And everybody's upset. But, you know, that's part of the gamesmanship. Mm-hmm. They threw it at the governor because they knew he was going to go in there and hack and whack at that.
Yeah.
And he was going to take a lot of heat for it. Well, guess what happened? He got out the pen and he's taking the heat for it, you know.
You know, and they say, you know, I'm just being like the reporter on this, my analysis. You know, they were mad at him for not being down there much during the session, if at all. And my thought was, hold it. It's been 7 years. You've treated him like crap.
Right.
And he's out, you know, trying to get a pipeline going.
Right.
You're not going to work with him.
Right.
You know, you got Wielichowski, rules chair. He's not getting anything through Wielichowski. So why do you want him here?
Yeah,
to embarrass him.
And when you looked at it, you know, all the headlines, I mean, he was out pushing hard for this pipeline. I came here 34 years ago, and all the talk when I came here was the gas line, you know. Well, the gas line's been talked about since before the oil pipeline.
Since one week after 1977 right. when they turned on the oil pipeline.
Right. You know, so, and, you know, I've seen it, you know, where it's like, oh, we're getting close, but we were never close.
No.
Right now, we're close.
Yeah.
I mean, we're right here. I think the only thing that's really going to squash this thing is if Glenn Farn comes back, you know, after they do their analysis and say, guys, we've crunched the numbers up one side and down the other. We can't make this work. If they come back like that, it's done.
And
it's a done deal.
On the good side of that, they've already said, we're not going to take the $50 million from ADA if we say no.
Right.
We're in a confidence now.
Yep. And that says a lot. That means that they've gone over rough numbers. They think this is viable, you know. Now, the question is, can they prove that it's not viable? And I'm sure their folks are going to be working really hard to try to make it not viable. You know what I mean? Because they don't want to get into this thing and then have it blow up in their face.
Yeah.
You know, so when they come out with a decision, I think it's going to be a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first study of the gazillion studies we've done on this pipeline that probably is going to come out with good data, you know, because I think all the other studies that have been done, quite frankly, I think it was just to get grant money to study it to death, you know. I mean, it would be really interesting
This room would be full of paper with
literally,
all the studies.
With all the studies that have been done, how many gazillions of dollars have we spent studying a piece of pipe, you know? But now we've got the route, we've got the right-of-way, we've got, I mean, everything is in place. Now the question is it economically viable? If it's viable, I think this thing goes, because I think the people of Alaska want it. Certainly the folks, you know, the powers that be in D.C. want this thing.
No.
So
the Democratic Party does not want this.
They don't want it.
Yeah. But the people in power on the Republican and the president,
And
that's what gets me about the local Democrats. Your party has crushed our state. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Your party has crushed our state in resource development.
Yep. And we are sitting on just ungodly amounts of resources here that we're not developing.
And how are we supposed to pay for everything? From resources. From our statehood compact.
That's right.
And I just look at that. I shake my head. Say, this is who you're bonded with. This group.
Yeah, but they still want more money to spend, money that we don't have.
For education.
We don't have
the money. For transportation.
Yeah.
The ferry system.
Yep.
Things we need money for that we all agree,
mm-hmm.
but it's not there. So you have to make tough choices.
And the money is not there because we're not developing
resources.
The resources that we have.
Thank you very much, Chuck Schumer. Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Clinton. You know, just look, take a look at every president, what they've done to Alaska that's on the Democratic Party.
Yep.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to the KFAR radio. We'll be back after these messages.
Is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660
News. Fox News, I'm John Saucier. At least 109 people are dead following catastrophic flooding in Texas over the July 4th weekend. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem gave an update on the federal response during a cabinet meeting at the White House.
FEMA went to an enhanced level immediately, but as soon as you signed the major disaster declaration, we were able to get them resources and dollars right away, just like you envisioned through state block grants. To help them with cleanup.
President Trump meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for a second straight day as the war in Gaza continues. The president says Netanyahu's been treated unfairly, but they're working towards an achievable outcome.
Gaza is a tragic, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And he wants to get it solved, and I want to get it solved, and I think the other side wants to get it solved.
Special Envoy Steve Witkoff says it is possible a 60-day ceasefire could be reached by the end of this week. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a float plane carrying four people crash-landed Saturday afternoon near a bear viewing area at Katmai National Park, hospitalizing the pilot and three passengers with non-critical injuries, according to park officials. The Cessna 180 crashed around 2:30 p.m. Saturday due to unknown cause, according to a release from Matt Johnson with the park. The plane ended up near Brooks Camp, a popular bear viewing spot in the park. The Federal Aviation Administration and National Transportation Safety Board are both investigating, according to Clinton Johnson, the Alaska Region Chief with the NTSB. Johnson said a rescue helicopter was launched Saturday by the Alaska Rescue Coordination Center that took four victims to an Anchorage hospital, but didn't have any more details other than the investigation is in the preliminary stages. Johnson said anyone who may have seen the incident can report it to witness at ntsb.gov, adding that the agency is looking to construct a chronological list of how the crash took place. We will update this story as more information becomes available.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Going camping is the simply satisfying, relaxing way to enjoy the Alaskan outdoors. Plan to get the most out of your experience with a visit to Frontier Outfitters. Check off your list of essentials, such as tents, sleeping bags, and cookware from your favorite brands, such as Mountain Hardware, Kelty, Slumberjack, Coleman, Jetboil, and more. Garmin GPS. Protect your eyes with sunglasses by Oakley, Maui Jim, and Costa. Your successful camping trip begins at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week, we welcome Alaska Feed Company to 50-50 Friday. Alaska Feed Company has been a part of the Fairbanks community for decades. Friday, you'll be able to pick up a $50 gift certificate to Alaska Feed for half price. You'll save on all sorts of products all throughout the store, for pets and for people. This offer comes live on this station Friday morning at 9 a.m. And these certificates will sell fast, so don't be late. Alaska Feed Company, coming to 50-50 Friday. Grab your $50 gift certificate for just $25.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Dearest Mother, I am writing you from the warm and inviting atmosphere of my home away from home, Brewster's. I'm sure I have noted that the half-pound burgers at Brewster's are truly the finest in all the land. They are always fresh, handcrafted, and grilled at 800 degrees. I am perplexed as to why not everyone creates their burgers like this. I've also recently become fond of their blissful smoked porter burger. I am certain you would appreciate the culinary delights and the welcoming environment of Brewster's. Your beloved son, Henry.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio here. While we were having our commercials, me and Brett were talking about borough budgets.
Yes.
And what a blast from that past. You guys actually passed a budget. You voted against it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But you passed a budget with an $8 million deficit.
Yep, for round figures, we were $8 million over. We started
You're allowed to do that?
We are apparently allowed to do that. We drew from our savings account for round figures, and I can't remember the exact number. I think it was 7.8 or something like that, million dollars. Whatever. It was $8 million we were over. So we drew from fund balance, our savings account, to balance things out. And, the problem with that is you can only do that for so long.
And one year.
Pretty much 1 year. You might sneak two in there depending
on how much fund balance you go get.
Yeah, and where the budget goes next year. The problem is, once these things, and we were talking about this during the break at the state level, once these things work their way into the budget, then they're kind of stuck there. And it almost takes an act of Congress, literally, to get it out of there, and to try to get everybody to agree to pull these things out. And it's the same at the local level,
mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the right folks, at the table, these items in the budget can be impossible to get out,
You're right. I guess you just have the right person or people looking at the budget. And I'll use the city of Fairbanks as an example. I took a revenue hit of $1.4 million, and then my budget had the largest ever reserve in the history of Fairbanks, but it had to because I had two CBAs, collective bargaining agreements, coming on, and I also hired 10 new firemen, and I had a $2.6 million reserve. So I had everything paid for. Everyone got their pay raises. Everyone in the city obligated with their CBAs, got their pay raises. No one lost a job. The only person who never received a pay increase was me.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done.
It can be done, yeah, with the right people looking at the numbers, seeing what really needs to be here. Because remember, the budget is not like you're locked in stone. It's like it's just a planning document is all it is. It's not like, oh.
But you're starting $8 million in the hole.
Right.
That's not a planning document.
No, it's not a good place to start because, say you want to try to make that up over the course of the budget. Well, it can be very challenging, especially, where we're
challenging,
at.
Eh?
Well, and especially right now because, you got two schools of thought. Either you either have a spending problem or you have a revenue problem. Now, my personal opinion is that we have a spending problem, but a lot of people want to argue that we have a revenue problem. Well, the truth might be somewhere in the middle. And here's the situation. Nobody in any government entity planned for the inflationary pressure that we were put under a couple of years ago when inflation just skyrocketed overnight. So now you've got all these projects you're trying to do that were $500,000 projects that very quickly turned into $750,000, $1 million, $1.1 million projects, and that just whittles away, mm-hmm. At your budget because you've got to try to come up with that money. So, it's hard to plan for those kind of economic times, but when they're put upon you, you're going to have to look at things.
The governor had to.
Right. And we just don't have that power, to go in and pick apart, and line item veto things. We approve it as a whole. So,
Hold it. You get to go in and pick apart. It's your budget.
It's our budget. I mean, yes, the assembly gets to pick it apart. But remember, that's a body of nine. So you got nine, you got nine votes there. And you don't always, yes, some of us try to go in there and pick it apart, but you have to vote on that. And if it doesn't pass, well, then you move on to the next thing that you try to pick apart. So anyway, it's an interesting conundrum that we're in, and it's just the cost of doing business. But, you know, as these costs go up, there are ways to trim back. The borough, you know, when you look at the borough, you look at all of our buildings and look at all of our infrastructure, it's old. This stuff was built back during the pipeline days when basically money was no issue. And that's the problem with government is they never think down the road. This is why I'm so against, you know, one, the new animal shelter, the field house is another one, the aquatic center. It's not that I don't want these things. It's not that we don't necessarily need them. We certainly need a new animal shelter. Anybody that's been in that building knows we need something new, or we need to do something different to the building than we've done in the past, right? And sure, everybody would love this aquatic center and this athletic center and the field house. Okay, great. You know, that can add to a lot of stuff here, but you got to be able to pay for it. And you don't have to pay for it just today, but you got to pay for it, you know, over time, you know, 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Now, here we are, we're 30, 40, in some cases, 50 years down the road on some of our buildings here. Buildings don't last forever, and they get to a point where they're very expensive to maintain.
Your Carlson Center's at 40.
Right. We're at 40, yeah, hard to believe, 40 years old. Yeah, the Carlson, when I came here 34 years ago, and it was a
the
pretty
The Pickle Barrel building's at 60.
60. Mary Cy is 50, got to be 50 or 60 years old now. So, and now you look at, you know, the cost of, you know.
The Riverboat Nenana's over 90.
Right. And look at the cost of materials and labor nowadays.
Yeah.
And we don't have a tremendous amount of new construction going on within the borough. You know, people, I think our population is declining. I think a lot of people are leaving here. We do have some large buildings coming on. You know we've got the new, Three Bears, you know, in North Pole.
Right.
So, you know, stuff like that, some of these newer commercial buildings, that's going to help, you know, bring in revenue. Once those buildings come online and we start to collect the taxes from them, that's certainly going to help. But is that going to outpace inflation and the pressures that are put on us from inflation? I don't think it will. At some point, we're going to have to look at trimming some stuff back. But look at what, you know, so we threw out, you know, some pretty controversial things this last budget session. Let's get rid of the Carlson Center. Let's get rid of Mary Cy. Let's get rid of Joy Community Center. Well, Joy Community Center was the only one that stuck out of that, but it took three tries to get that, you know, and hopefully this last go around, we finally, the assembly has put their foot down and said, no, we have to trim somewhere this makes the most sense. You know,
it causes the least pain.
It causes the least amount of pain, correct, you know, for the different user groups. And so, and, you know, are people, you know, that were using the community center, are they going to feel some pain? Yes, but they'll figure it out, because the deal is, before they came to the community center, the Joy Community Center, they were someplace else. All of those things existed. They existed somewhere else. Was it as good as the Joy Community Center? Probably not. But again, we have to pay for the building, and a lot of people threw out us, well, you're only saving $50,000 or $60,000. Well, yes, in this budget, yes, but what are we saving in the long run? As this, that's already an old building, you know, when it's going to continue to age, it's going to continue to depreciate, and what happens when the roof really goes, and we got to put a $3 million roof on it? So it's not the $60,000 in the budget. You got to look down the road.
You know, I sort of opened up this morning. We had a work session at the city council, and we're looking at an ordinance to have a minimum balance in our capital fund, and so. If it's an, you know, any ordinance can be changed in 1 month with two readings.
Sure.
To change its direction.
Right.
So I looked at this more as a policy view. But I warned the city council. You're going to be seeing a capital project of about $3.6 million to change the heating system at City Hall.
Wow.
And they've been working on this for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to make a go, no-go decision. And what's that going to do to our capital balance?
Yeah, and had you done that project just 4 years ago.
That would be about two.
Maybe two. Yeah. I was going to say 1.7, 1.8, yeah. You know, right in there. Because that's when I came on the assembly, we were just in the peak of that.
And, you know, when I became the mayor, they were trying to figure out, should this be steam or hot water? Steam or hot water?
Right.
You know, well, let's figure that out real fast, guys. That's like 2 week decision.
Right, right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's astounding what stuff costs nowadays. You know, when these bids come in and, you know, initially the initial projections come in at $500,000 and then you start getting real world bids at a million plus, It's a real eye opener. But it's the cost of doing business nowadays. These costs are not going to go down. They're, you know, once they go up and they stabilize like they have, they're not going to go back down, you know.
True. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have Assemblyman Brett Roederman in the studio with me here. He's already given his diatribe, so he won't get brought up on charges.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Need parts to fix, count on six Robleys. We keep the wheels turning.
Summer means getting out, which means a visit to Six Robleys on South Cushman for trailer parts, RV supplies, light truck parts, even heavy-duty truck parts. And they can get you out on the road with confidence, whether it's a trip to Chitna or a trip down the Hall Road. Have peace of mind, thanks to Six Robleys.
Six Robleys, we keep the wheels turning.
Fairbanks is going for gold this August. If you're 50 or older, we want to see you in the games. The Alaska International Senior Games return August 8th through the 17th with almost 20 events like bowling, tennis, track and field, swimming, pickleball, and more. Whether you're competitive or just want to have fun, there's something for everyone. Visit alaskaisg.org or Google Alaska International Senior Games for more information. But don't wait. Registration closes July 27th.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
I shall never see a poem as lovely as a... Oh, hello. Are you surprised to learn that I love poetry? It's true. Poems have such a pleasant flow about them. Don't you think? I do my best work when I'm not, you know, bloated. My family calls Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing just once a year to keep my poetry flowing. I serve them much better. The Bigfoot with a helping hand.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with storms likely. Daytime highs approaching 70. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight. Showers likely. Lows dip down to about 51. Storms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I got Brett Roederman in the studio here for me. And Brett, just say it one more time for old time's sake.
Oh, you just love to hear
it. I do.
These opinions are mine. They're mine alone. They do not represent the Fairbanks North Star Borough nor the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly.
You know, you don't even have that written in front of you, and you got that down.
I got her down. Yeah.
I mean, you even got the right cadence to it.
That's right. It's so sad we have to keep saying that, but that's the way it is.
You know, there is something that's down, and that's the Polaris building. We still got to take out the basement, though.
Yeah, I saw the picture of that in the paper. I love all these news stories I see now that, you know, what's wrong with the Fairbanks skyline, you know, and the pictures without the Polaris building in the background. It's pretty, yeah, it's pretty
different.
Cool.
It is different.
Yeah, I honestly, I have not been there, but I do remember going to assembly meetings last summer, mm-hmm. when it was starting, when they were really yep. getting good at breaking the walls apart in sections and bringing them down. And I was walking into the borough building and I glanced over, and of course, one of the upper walls, part of it was missing. And you started to realize that it's like, oh my God, that thing is actually
coming down,
like disappearing, you know, right before our eyes. And now, of course, now you walk in, you can't see anything. So it's pretty cool. So how long do they think before the basement's gone?
It's gonna be, you know, probably mid to late August.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and then they bring in gravel and start, you know, filling in, compacting it. They're leaving the basement exterior walls up.
Right.
Because those hold up roads.
Oh yeah, yeah. You wouldn't that would not
those
be
hold
good.
Up roads.
Yeah, and that's gonna be that's gonna be a lot of gravel and dirt to bring in to fill that hole. That's a colossal hole.
I know.
So but it's interesting. It's good, you know. It's I can even, you know, our house is, you know, up off of Summit Drive, and, you know, we've got a pretty good view looking down into Fairbanks, and I can even tell just from there, I can see that the Polaris building is gone. It's very, very cool to be able to see that.
You know, it's been a different summer for me because, you know, you start out and, you know, it's a, you know, first part of May and they start working on, there's 8 stories there.
Right.
And all of a sudden, a week later, you're looking at it going, there's 7 stories, and you start calculating, they're taking down a floor every 9 days.
Well, they got, I mean, you could tell they got very efficient. I think they figured out a system.
Once they had that tall, you know, jackhammer drill mm-hmm. that could reach up and then start jackhammering it.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
They weren't cutting it anymore.
Right. Yeah. Because originally when I saw the sections coming down, you could tell that the concrete cutters had gone in there and cut it. And I thought, oh my God, that's because if you ever watch a concrete cutting operation, it's incredibly labor intensive. I mean, it's like the equivalent of watching paint dry, mm-hmm. you know, for the operator, especially when they're cutting through large concrete walls. And I used to work in the power plants, and we'd have to have the concrete cutters come in and bore holes and stuff. And it took hours.
Ready for a phone call?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Brett Ruderman, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
I was just curious about the basement of the Polaris, the former Polaris building. How far does that basement wall go below the ground level? Is there a footing way down there below even that? Are there pilings driven way even below that? Or what's down there, and can part of it...
It's probably about a 10-foot basement, and beneath that are the footings for the foundation, the perimeter. And those are probably pretty significant. You know, what they did in 1952 building, I do not know, but just as I remember how the basement was built, single-level basement, about 10 feet down, and, you know, thick concrete exterior walls.
And can that concrete that's below ground level, can that just remain and just fill in the...
Yes, it can remain. Yes, it can remain. It's going to remain.
Oh, okay.
And then what you do is you fill in the interior, and then we will be having that surveyed.
Uh-huh.
And that way, when the next person who comes along to develop a lot, they know where your boundaries are. And on all the boundaries, the building was built to it, and it holds up 1st Avenue, 2nd Avenue, and Lacey Street. And it also holds up the basement to the Lavelle's Tap House building.
Mm.
So if we would have pulled that out, their basement would have collapsed.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, interesting.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
And, you know, when you're working on this project, you know, 8 years ago, you're not thinking of those things. You're just thinking about, okay, I need to get about $10 million to get this thing knocked down because that's right. Our estimate.
Right.
And then you know, you get a $10 million from the EPA, and they say, oh, by the way, we need to have your plan before we give you the money because we've never done this before, and we want to know what your plan is before we let you have our money.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting. I had never thought about that if you just went in there and jackhammered out all that concrete in the basement, that literally it's going to implode. The whole thing is going to implode.
Exactly.
And you're going to literally have streets falling into the basement, you know, of the Polaris building, not to mention, you know, all the plumbing that's below the streets and, yeah. you know, all the, you know, the cabling.
So this got funded, appropriated in March of 2022, and it took us until March of 2023 to get the EPA's, you know, official okie dokie. Okay, we accept your plan. Oh, by the way, you have to do a historical, you know, historical template on the building itself before, and we have to agree to that before we give you the money. And oh, by the way, the state has to agree to that, you know, what it is. Oh my God, before we give you your money.
Wow. That's, yeah, that's incredible. Did the,
and you know, yeah. And when people wonder why sometimes I'm sort of testy.
Yeah. But the important question for me is, did the tree that they removed from the roof, did it survive? They transported
yeah,
it
oh, yeah,
at
yeah.
City Hall, right?
Yeah.
It's down there.
Yeah.
It did survive.
And my bucket list item was when I first became mayor, I climbed to the 11th floor with a chainsaw. And I went out on that roof and I cut down trees.
Right.
That was my bucket list item. And I did it.
So
and I felt good.
The tree that I have not seen the tree they transplanted. Was it just a really small sapling?
No. It was about a 10, 12 foot birch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty.
And it's watered quite well by Festival Fairbanks now.
Awesome.
And it has the Arbor Day 2024 sign right next to it, the day of transfer. And Jomo Stewart with Fedco, he harvested it and carried it down and replanted it for Arbor Day. Kudos to Jomo Stewart.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, yeah, well, it's good to see that gone. Now it's going to be interesting to see what we come up with for a plan for the property. It's premium property downtown, so, you know, hopefully something good is going
to
go
in. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, not to change the subject, but I would like to give just a shout out to all our wildland firefighters
that are
out there right now.
Yeah.
This is really incredible. And also to tell people, please, if you can, stay off the Parks Highway. They are practically begging people to not travel on the Parks Highway between the Bear Creek Fire and the Nenana Complex. It's driving them crazy. So please, if you guys don't need to be on the park, stay off of it. But we had, over the 4th of July, we were out at our cabin out in the Minto Flats, and they were working that Nenana Complex fire pretty hard. And we had five of the ducks. We're used to the four yellow ones that we see flying around. We had another white one that joined the crowd.
And we're not talking about
feathered birds. We're talking about the big water dumpers. And then we had the four air tractors. Mm-hmm. All of them were coming out into the Minto Flats to load up with water. So they'd go over to the big lake and they would load up, and then all of them would turn and come right straight over the cabin. So for a whole day, we had like the greatest air show, and they actually got to the point they knew we were there. They were tipping the wings, and you know, they were doing the whole thing. So, but I mean, these guys are really incredible, and what they're going through in these kind of conditions. I was so glad to see this rain move in and this humidity and that get the wind down. But I do know water our lawns. I do know I know of at least one structure that's been lost out at Gold King Creek. That's just through a network of pilot friends that I know one. And then other cabins out there, I've got pictures of the fire has burned within 15 feet of their structures, and it was all because of the firefighters. And it's very unique how they fought that out at Gold King Creek, because the only water is in Gold King Creek.
Yeah.
So what they would do is they put a giant bladder out on the runway at Gold King Creek, pump the water from the creek up into the bladder, and then from the bladder they pumped it out through a network of hoses out to all those cabins along the airstrip and set up the sprinklers. And so far I know they've only lost one structure.
They're very good at fire management. They are.
It's pretty cool how they can protect structures.
And every year, you know what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And every year they never cease to amaze me on what they save.
Yep. And to watch these pilots, you know, because a lot of times, I mean, we get to see them out at the cabin, you know, that was kind of cool. But also they'll load up at the Fairbanks Float Pond. And so we got to watch them there. And it's just incredible flying.
It's time, sir. You have a great day.
Yep.
Thank you for being here. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow. You have a great day.